time for this week's Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt back in studio with us this afternoon to talk about some books that you have expressed your profound love and affection for.
Yeah, they're set in Sweden, so I wanted to quickly note that Bodenham's own Taylor Leach, former defender for the Maine women's hockey team, just signed a professional contract in Sweden. So maybe she can learn enough Swedish to come back and teach me about these books. Yeah, we've talked about Beartown. We talked about Us Against You. I finished the third one, actually only this morning, The Winners. And I said it on social media, and I'll say it on the air. These are not just three of the best sports novels I've ever read. They're three of the best novels I've ever read. And I've been an avid reader of fiction since I was in my mid-teens, and that's almost 60 years ago. Frederick Bachman is best known in this country for Anxious People, which I've not read, a New York Times bestseller, and A Man Called Ove, which is made into a wonderful movie. He says at the end of this book, this is not in the book itself, but in the notes, and I wanted to get it exactly the way he said it because it's so true. He says, "Finally, to you who have read this whole saga, I'd just like to say that I hope it gave you something because I gave it absolutely everything I had. Thank you for coming along for the ride." Mm. And it's a ride. This is one of the most wonderfully interwoven tales of humanity. Now, to put people back in the setting, there are two towns. One is Beartown, one is Head, H-E-D. They are close to one another, and they are in the forest in northern Sweden. They are far away from Stockholm and Göteborg and those places. And they are hockey crazy towns. There is no doubt that hockey is bigger in both towns than it probably should be. It has been for a long time. And it becomes a story that really touches on every human level. I mean, I think of this as like, Joyce's great novel, Ulysses, takes place in 24 hours on the 16th of June. And it's very complex, but it goes into a lot of long interior monologue and things, which these books have, but doesn't delve in so quickly. Each book introduces some new characters, and as would be in the course of any kind of reading, some characters fall away. I got to see a great presentation on these by, I want to pronounce his name the best I can because I promised him I would, Preben Karlsgaard Philipsen from Eksbergerda Gymnasium. He's a Danish scholar, he was presenting on this knowing that there would be people that hadn't read the entire book. So I don't want to spoil any of this for anyone, so I stole a little bit of his idea. But the main character, if there is one, is a guy named Peter Andersson, who grows up in Beartown, is part of the Beartown hockey culture, gets to the NHL, does not get to play long. You learn this very early on. That's not a spoiler. And his wife and their family, and then how every single other person in the story, throughout all the stories, somehow will connect with either Peter or his wife, Kara, or his daughter, Maya, and in very complex and original ways. If I were to say that it's a story about families, both whole and broken, it's about loyalty, it's about betrayal, it's about love, it's about intense hatred, it's about redemption and condemnation, it's greed and compassion, it's home and homelessness in a sense, if you can be homeless where you live, not being homeless without a place to live. But it really, really, really examines in very key ways all the bad stuff with fandom, and all the good stuff with fandom. We've talked on this show so many times about how people will identify too much with the team. They'll say, what we need to do if they're Patriots fans, or our biggest problem if they're Celtic fans. Here, there are no other sports. It's an area where the big things are elk hunting season, the long winters, the constant playing of hockey on the ponds and in the rinks, and the marginalization of those who do not play, those who choose to not play or those who are unable to play. It's a story about the enormous advantages to being wealthy, the great disadvantages to growing up poor, to being an immigrant in a new land. It's about people triumphing. It's about people who have everything for them and then screw it all up and ruin it. And it is, in essence, in a very deep way, an examination of every kind of violence there is. And I mean that, and I don't mean that it's that they are violent books, but violence occurs, and every time it does, what Bachman is incredibly good at doing is showing us why it happened and how it could have been prevented from happening. Some of the, well, there's a character in here that's this maybe the sleaziest politician ever, and I mean sleazy, Machiavellian, willing to use anyone to gain. Where I'm going to say he or she, so I don't give anything away, goes. It's a story about people who work very hard to become successful and then realize that maybe there are other things that are more important. But mostly it's a book that's a lot about second and third chances for people. It examines what happens when someone turns their back or their wrath on someone without knowing the whole reason why. About making those kinds of mistakes. But each one of the books has its own identity, but you really do want to read them in order. Now, if you read the last book, you would learn a lot about what happened in the other two, but you wouldn't necessarily understand why. I understand there is an HBO series on Bear called Beartown, and everybody I know who's read all three books that has seen it was horribly disappointed. I cannot imagine how you could make a movie of even one of these books, that it would be an incredible chore. It would be sort of like making the movie of War and Peace, and you think of all the things you have to leave out, all the sub-stories. That would be the case here. And that's what makes this, I think, masterful fiction. You need all the details. There's no story thrown in here for the hell of it. There's no aside or anything. Everything is focused.
How does it, well, you don't know how it translates. You're not really sure.
No, but whomever translated it into really compelling English. I don't know anything really about Swedish, except the Swedish people I know say Swedish is an easy language to translate because it's not complex grammatically. So that if you have the vocabulary, you're able to do it. Now, again, that's just things people have told me. I have no direct understanding of it. But, you know, I think people in Maine will particularly like this. Imagine if Lewiston and Auburn sat on a river that was up in central Aroostook County, and all you had was hockey and hunting, a factory that sometimes did well and didn't do well. The hospital in this case is in Head. The factory is in Beartown. The animosity between these two towns almost cannot be explained. And yet at times, humanity rises over that when certain events occur. And there are just some of the most intriguing characters in this. There's a character named Timu, who I find perhaps the most interesting literary character I've run into in 10, 15 years. And the balance in the book between being shown where you are, beginning to understand the setting, this place where once the ice is out, people start waiting for the ice to return. Yeah, it's not that they don't like summer. They enjoy it. They say summer's great. You go to a lake and you spend hours catching no fish. But the heart and soul of the book is every once in a while someone will say, but it's really hard. And the answer in this part of the world is it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard. And there's a great quote. This is the only other direct quote I want to take from the book. I remember exactly what page it's on, 644 in the Winners. And here it is. I thought it was 644. Maybe I'm wrong.
This is compelling radio.
This is really good. Anyway, what the character says is, sometimes the greatest leadership is what leads you home. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about what that means in so many ways, not just for sport, but sometimes if you need to lead people, maybe you need to lead them backwards, backward to a place before something has occurred. Getting, you know, we talk about getting back to basics, back to fundamentals, but that's sort of mechanical. But I think the leadership idea of bringing you back to the place where things were better is like our friend Colin Sargent talks about in his essay on Currencia, that a bull it's on its last legs in a bullfight goes back to where it came into the stadium almost every time, because that's the last time it felt like it was a bull.
Wow.
And this, between the Bears of Beartown and the Bulls of Head, that's what they do. They go back to the last place that they felt strong and they felt like who they were. And just remarkable, remarkable literature. And Frederick Backman is spelled FREDERICKBACKMAN. And if he doesn't win the Nobel Prize for Literature before long, then something is rotten in Denmark and Sweden.
When's the last time you felt like a bull, Bruce? No.
You know about that, Rich. It's funny you say that. I was thinking about that. When was the last time that I felt I had all the confidence to tackle and take on the world? And it's not that long ago. I think probably pre-pandemic. But, you know, it's that going back to the place. I mean, the reason I love to go to the Alfond Arena and skate is because when I'm there and I'm skating, I feel like I am myself. And because I it's something I would do every day of my life if I could. But I can't say to myself, my life isn't good if I don't skate today, you know?
Sure.
And
sure,
that's what I think is the great lesson in this book is that, yeah, hockey is a wonderful game, but here's all the things that aren't wonderful about it.
Yeah.
And it's really, really, really top-notch work.
Excellent. Well, it sounds great. Next week we'll be off. We're on vacation, but we will be featuring some Sports Lit 101 segments in our vacation specials next week, including our recent conversation about the Fireballer with Mark Stevens. David Crowell talking about Do You Believe in Magic?
Oh, those are both great interviews.
Absolutely. So what do we got in a couple of weeks when you're back?
I think, well, we're going to be one of two things. If I get a book called Glengarry School Days that Jamie Dopp recommended, I may talk about that. It's a very old book, but it lines up all these hockey books in an interesting way. But also, I have Steve Geacher's tome. It's got 650 pages on baseball, and left a guy we know from Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles. And I've got a couple other books, and hopefully the Smokey Joe Wood book by Gerald Wood will be in my possession. So one of those.
Excellent. We're looking forward
to it. We're busy.
Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure, as always.